The following is an interview given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 27th, 2016, in Melbourne, Australia.
Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Thank you, Hanuman. Gurudev, thank you for giving us your time this evening for this special program. So as Hanuman alluded to, it's about to do with our sadhana and how we can maintain a rock-solid sadhana throughout our devotional life. So the first question we'd like to ask you, please, Gurudev, is what is sadhana?
Bhakti is in two. There's spontaneous love, and there's loving service under rules and regulations. So sadhana means when you're following rules and regulations. It's not spontaneous yet, but by the sadhana practice, it will gradually become spontaneous.
So how can a devotee maintain good sadhana?
Good sadhana is achieved by a sincere desire to awaken pure love of God within the heart. We have to realize that actually I have nothing to do with this material body. This material world is not my place of residence. I'm actually one of the associates of Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. So this whole sojourn I've had here in millions and billions of lifetimes is actually a diversion from my actual identity. So by the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna, Brahmanda Brahmite Konna Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhaktalita Bij, by the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna, I have gotten this seed of bhakti planted in my heart. So sadhana means you water that seed and you weed the garden of the heart and you protect it from the mad elephant of Vaishnava Aparad. So in this way, if one carefully cultivates that seed of bhakti, then it's described how it will grow, it will penetrate the coverings of the material universe, it will traverse the vast spiritual sky, it will go all the way to the abode of Radha and Krishna, where it will, that creeper will entwine itself around their lotus feet, and pure, the fruit of pure love of God will become manifest. So careful sadhana means to follow the injunctions given by the spiritual master, to read Prabhupada's books and to follow Prabhupada's books. If we try to invent our own new, you could say nouveau sadhana, which is based on my own comfort zone, we're going to have difficulty. We have to understand the real comfort zone is to regain our original constitutional nature. There's no such thing as comfort zone in this material existence. It's always going to be uncomfortable. So even if the rules and regulations of bhakti appear to be uncomfortable for us, we should still adopt them. We may not want to rise early in the morning by 4 a.m. and observe Mangal Arati at the temple or at home. We may not want to give up illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. We may not feel like chanting 16 rounds of japa mala at least every day. We may not feel like doing this and doing that, but these feelings we have are material. They're based on a false sense of the self as being the material body. So instead of serving the false self, namely the material conception of existence, we should intelligently take that process which brings us back to our original nature. Just like when you're sick, you go to the doctor. Now, who wants to take medicine? Sometimes the medicine is very bitter. You don't want to take it. The example is given of jaundice. When you're suffering from jaundice, the cure for jaundice is to take sugar candy. But when you have jaundice, sugar candy tastes horribly bitter. You just want to spit it out. You see? But still, because the doctor has told you you need to take this sugar candy to become cured from your disease, you take it. And gradually by that process of taking the sugar candy, as the healing effect begins to manifest more and more, then the sugar regains its sweetness. So in the beginning, Sometimes the practice of bhakti may appear to be bitter. In fact, it's described in the Bhagavad Gita that happiness in the mode of goodness is bitter in the beginning and sweet in the end. So happiness in the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. Is it? So that's material sense gratification. It appears to be very enjoyable. Sex, pleasure, eating whatever you want, intoxication, it appears to be very enjoyable. Going to the movies, whatever it may be, you see. But actually these things are poisonous. They leave you bereft of any actual happiness. If you based your happiness on material sense gratification, you will be disappointed. It's absolutely a fact. If you don't believe me, just keep trying material sense gratification. And you finally reach that point, you realize there's nothing here. Is it? So even though happiness in the mode of goodness, which is what we experience in the beginning when we take to Krishna consciousness in many ways, is not always nectar in the beginning, still we do it understanding I need to do this to cure myself of the material disease. Of course, this is transcendental happiness. It's even higher than the mode of goodness. Transcendental happiness is nectar in the beginning, nectar in the end. So whatever extent you actually can be in that transcendental mood, you'll taste the nectar in the very beginning. Like Prabhupada says, chant and be happy, you see. You can immediately taste the nectar. But sometimes some of the aspects don't seem that nectarian. But still we must embrace the process. Because by doing so, that what appears to be not so nectarian will actually become very, very nectarian. So in this way, once you understand how to practice sadhana, the way to make it easy is to understand that Krishna is a person, and you are also a person. If you base the whole thing on a loving relationship with Krishna, then it becomes easy. You do it for Krishna. Sometimes we think, well, what's in it for me? How can I get something for me? But that's not the highest conception. We should think, how can I please Krishna? You see. If you start thinking like that, how can I please Krishna? Like Prabhupada told my godbrother, he said, Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? He said, if you love Krishna. So we really have to get in that mood of trying to understand God. Krishna is a person, he's God, he's the supreme source of all existence. He's my ever-well-wishing friend. He's the supplier of everything. The air we breathe is a gift from Krishna. Everything we have is a gift from Krishna. Our very existence is a gift from Krishna. So if you try to understand how much you're dependent on Krishna at every minute and start to reciprocate with everything that Krishna is actually giving you, you see, then it becomes very easy. The process is very easy. If you just think it's rules and regulations, it's going to be difficult, you see. But if you start to understand this is actually a relationship with an amazing person, the most amazing person of all of existence, the most powerful, beautiful, knowledgeable, renounced, wealthy, and famous person in all existence is my ever-well-wishing friend. And he's just waiting for me to come back to a loving relationship with him. If you had this sort of consciousness, sadhana bhakti would be very easy. It would be a piece of, like we say in the material world, a piece of cake, or we say a glob jamun. Be like a popping a glob jamun in your mouth. You see? So just try to understand there's a person, Krishna, and this person is the source of everything. He's within every atom, between every atom, he's within your heart. Everything is coming from him, and the whole thing exists just for his facility to have loving. He's manifesting the whole thing just so he can enjoy unlimited varieties of loving relationships. And you are a unique person, a unique entity with whom Krishna desires a certain type of relationship that no one else can give him. Have you ever looked at snowflakes under a microscope? Everyone is different. Every snowflake is entirely different. So every jiva soul is unique. There are no two jivas that are exactly alike. Just like if you have a feast with 1,008 preps. I took one of those feasts one time, Tamar Krishna Goswami's Vyas Puja. Devotees made 1,008 preps for his Vyas Puja. And we actually, the God Brothers, it was like a, we sat in a line, and we had little, you know, little clay pots or whatever, little cups, and he'd pass it on down the line. We all took 1,008 preps, little bites from each one, you see. It's quite an amazing experience. So the, in other words, the more you have, the more preps there are at the feast, the more it becomes ecstatic, you see. 108, yeah, that's pretty good. 1,008, wow. 10,008, whoa. You see what I mean? So Krishna has manifested an unlimited number of jiva souls so he can have the ultimate love feast of all times, namely an unlimited variety of loving, different types of loving reciprocations with an unlimited variety of living entities. And he's so amazing, he manifests an individual Krishna for each and every one of them. Just as he manifested an individual manifestation of himself for every queen in Dwarka, and that's nothing, only 16,108. Krishna manifests, when you become a pure devotee, Krishna will become your personal property. You'll have your own Krishna, just you and him, in a loving relationship. So, don't cheat yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Don't cheat yourself, trying to squeeze pleasure out of this material, these material senses. You're an absolute idiot if you remain on that platform, an absolute idiot. Come back to your original constitutional nature as one of Krishna's eternal associates, one of his eternal servants in the spiritual world. And you can also be here in the material world and do them. You can be a liberated soul here. You don't have to go back to Godhead to become a liberated soul. You can be a liberated soul right here, right now, just by fully embracing Krishna consciousness as your only business in all times, places, and circumstances with your every thought, word, and deed. Now it's up to you. Do you want to be a conditioned soul or a liberated soul? Your choice. Next.
You made many points there in response there, but one of them I noticed was you're talking about desires. Now in the material world, when we have a desire, quite often that desire can be granted instantly. Whereas sometimes a spiritual desire can take some time to get the taste. So how can devotees keep strong in their sadhana to progress in Krishna consciousness?
No, you have to have faith in the process. I think Krishna is not going to cheat me. I've been told that if I chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra at least every day and follow these regulated principles, that if I surrender to my spiritual master and try to be obedient to him, then I'm guaranteed entrance into the spiritual world. I have to have faith in them, you see. So how do you have faith in him? Am I being hyped? Is this some imaginary thing one could ask? Many people have come to ISKCON, have left also, you see. What separates those who stay from those who leave? Those who stay have strong faith in the process. So how do you develop that strong faith? That's a very important thing. Faith is the whole foundation of the process. How do you have faith in this process of Krishna consciousness? Well, if you have a proper philosophical understanding, it's not difficult to have faith. You see? If you understand that things don't come out of nothing, everything comes from something. Now, there's a leading scientist nowadays who claims, and he's being applauded by many, he says everything comes out of nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's the source of existence. The void. It's just popping out of the void. Everything comes popping out of the void, you see. But where is the scientific experiment you can do to prove that anything can come out of nothing? Have you ever taken an empty test tube and gotten something out of it in the laboratory? It's not possible. So just on the basis of understanding that nothing comes out of nothing, everything comes out of something, and if something is coming out of something, the qualities that are found in the emanation from that something must also be present in that something itself. You understand, philosophically. If you take a drop of ocean water out of the ocean, it's going to have salt in it. Just as the ocean has salt, the drop of ocean water also has salt. The emanation from a thing possesses the qualities that that thing itself has, you see. So since we all come out of something and we're all persons, therefore that original something must indeed, therefore, possess personality. And if it possesses personality, is it an it? No. God is a person. That original source is a person. Now we've proven by logic that God is a person. And God is the source of all existence. So if you have proper philosophical understanding, you're not carried away by the propaganda of these so-called material scientists and other speculators. If you have proper philosophical understanding, which is confirmed in the Vedic wisdom, by the way, in millions of verses. If you have proper philosophical understanding, then that will naturally give you faith. That Supreme Person, therefore, you can understand he also must be a loving person, you see. Love, we know what love is. We talk about it, we experience it. So that love must also exist in the Supreme Source of all existence. That Supreme Person must be loving. He has to have loving ability to love, otherwise we could not have the ability to love. So since we understand that the original source of all existence is a loving person, therefore we understand whatever I'm going through right now is actually for my benefit. I'm just talking with a young spiritual seeker this afternoon out in the courtyard named William from France. And he had some very profound realizations. He understood that everything that's happening is actually ultimately for the good of the living being. Everything that's happening. He could understand that everything that's happening is happening under the arrangement of Krishna or God for my ultimate benefit. He had that realization. He's a young spiritual seeker, you see, from France, hitchhiking around, you see. So it's a fact. Whatever, there's no such thing as a when Krishna is not manifesting his unlimited kindness upon you. There's never, not even for a nanosecond, at every minute, Krishna is giving you unlimited kindness and mercy and blessings. So therefore, you just have to learn how to recognize it. Whatever difficulties we have are not really difficulties. It's just our own misperceptions. That's all. We're misperceiving. Actually, the so-called difficulties are considered by Kunti Devi to be the greatest blessing. Vipada shati sanchashvat tatatata jagan guru bhavanam darshanam yachad apunarbhavadarshanam. Kunti says that may those difficulties come again and again and again. Because when those difficulties come, I can do nothing but see you. And when I see you, I will no longer see birth and death. So devotee realizes, actually, there's no difficulty at all. Actually, there's no difficulty. It's just it's ecstatic. Krishna consciousness is ecstatic from the very beginning. You have the proper vision. It's nectar from the very beginning. You see? If you have the proper understanding, that takes you beyond the mode of goodness to the transcendental platform. You should cultivate that by hearing from realized devotees, by reading Prabhupada's books, by following the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master, etc. These will bring you to a liberated state of consciousness, a vision, where you will, there'll be no question of ever leaving Krishna consciousness. For me, there was never any question of leaving Krishna consciousness. I understood from the very beginning, from that moment I accepted Srila Prabhupada, that I have nothing to do for all of eternity except to serve my spiritual master. That's it. Nothing else exists beyond serving my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. You see? So if you develop this kind of a vision, one-pointed vision, nothing will ever take you away from that. So you have to see how you can develop this one-pointed vision by hearing from those who have it. Serving those who have it, you can develop it. Next.
So with these difficulties you're talking about, people face adversity and difficulties in their life, both devotees and non-devotees.
What is it?
Difficulties that people face in the material world.
The material world?
Difficulties.
Difficulties, okay.
So both devotees and non-devotees will have difficulties.
Yes and no. Actually, for a devotee, there's no such thing as a difficulty. It's a matter of vision. Devotee's difficulties are... that's his ignorance. is his ignorance. The material consciousness means difficulties, you see. For a devotee, the difficulties are... Kunti was praying for difficulties. So how you can... So difficulties are actually the greatest blessing, you see, for a devotee. When there's difficulty. For Karmi, it's completely... The whole thing is difficulty. He's caught up in the cycle of birth and death. The whole thing is a difficulty. He may not think it's difficult, but actually he's caught in the greatest difficulty at every minute. He's being devoured by the material nature. He's being eaten alive by the material nature. He may think he's not having difficulty, but actually he's in the most difficult position. It's like being on the Titanic and it's sinking, but you're going down to the ballroom for another dance on the sinking Titanic. You see? So, if, difficulties of devotees, actually, difficulties are the greatest blessing. We should beg for difficulties. If you're in that mood of saying, Krishna, please give me unlimited difficulties, so I will have nothing to do except take shelter of you. For you, there's no such thing as a difficulty. So difficulty means you're not Krishna conscious. That's all. It simply means you're not Krishna conscious. So be a devotee. Stop being a non-devotee in the garb of a devotee. You see? You have to see everything as the greatest blessing. Difficulty? Give me more. I love them. They're great. You see? That's Krishna consciousness. Next.
So, what are the benefits of maintaining a good sadhana?
Krishna consciousness. And what does Krishna consciousness mean? Like when, I remember when Buddha said, I have been blessed with bliss. A good sadhana means you're blessed with bliss. If you're not blissing out, your sadhana is crummy. What can I say? If you're not blissing, if you're not in a state of bliss right now, your sadhana is crummy. It's no good. You're not doing sadhana properly. Anybody that does sadhana properly is going to be blissing out every minute. Why? Because you'll be directly associating with Krishna. When you chant his name, you're directly associating the Supreme Person himself. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, in short, the good sadhana means you're directly associating with God, even while you're in this material existence. You're directly associating with Krishna himself. What could be better than that? He's the supreme enjoyer, and you can enjoy even more than him. That's the amazing thing about our philosophy. Lord Krishna is saying that, what is this? I am the supreme enjoyer, but this girl, Radhika, she is enjoying more than me. How is that possible? I'm the supreme enjoyer. I want to taste the nectar she is tasting by being my devotee. Therefore, I will become Lord Chaitanya. When he sees Gaurangi, that beautiful golden-limbed girl, is enjoying more than him, he doesn't want to be outdone, so he becomes Gauranga, so he can taste the same bliss as Gaurangi, you see. So, that's called good sadhana. You can enjoy greater than Krishna himself if you have very good sadhana. So why cheat yourselves? My crummy sadhana. I mean, are you an idiot? Are you intelligent? That has to be seen. Krami sadhana means you're an idiot. You're a moron. Good sadhana means you have some intelligence, you see. So let's be intelligent and stop being morons, okay? Next.
How can a devotee know and identify that they're progressing with their sadhana?
How can he identify what?
That he's progressing.
Well, when you can see Krishna face eye to eye, then you know you've really made some nice progress. Prabhupada told me in one letter like that. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. But before that, if you're not so fortunate like fallen souls like me who haven't seen Krishna yet, then how do you know you're making progress, you see? If you're not seeing Krishna face to face, eye to eye, how do you know you're making progress or not? Well, how enlivened are you to hear the Bhagavatam? How enlivened are you to chant Hare Krishna? How enlivened are you to bow down before Guru, Vaishnavas, and Krishna? Your own eagerness are the joy you feel engaging in devotional service, whatever degree of joy you're tasting, that is actually your level of advancement, not whether you're second initiated or whether they say so-and-so key jibe when you walk into the room. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I know I have god brothers who were GBCs, sannyasis, and gurus, and now they're back in the lap of a prostitute somewhere, you see? So having a position doesn't mean you're advanced necessarily. It should, but it doesn't always, you see? Having a big position, being recognized. The real thing is, how much joy do you feel when you chant Hare Krishna, you see? How much ecstasy do you taste when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. That's how you can measure your advancement in Krishna consciousness, how much joy you experience by chanting the holy name. That's all the question? Okay.
I've been informed that you've been traveling for over 15 years preaching the Krishna consciousness message. In your travels, what are the most common things that you find that devotees struggle with within their sadhana?
Well, sex is a big problem. Many devotees have a problem with sex desire. I know that's a big one. Laziness, you know, not getting up early in the morning. These are very common problems. As soon as you give in to Maya in one department, she'll take over every aspect of your consciousness. So you need to, just like if you're fighting a war, you have to be well protected on every front. You have to have, you know, the Air Force protecting the skies, the Navy protecting the ocean, and the Army protecting in all directions around. You can't leave any gaps for Maya. This is what Prabhupada one time told my Vartma Prajarshaka Guru, Vishnu Janaswami. Vishnu Jan Maharaj was there in Prabhupada's room in Los Angeles. And Prabhupada pointed at his harmonium. He said, "You see, if there's some spare moments, I can sing some bhajan." He says, "No gaps for Maya." That's what you have to do. You have to see your 24 hours, and you have to seal it off. There's no way that Maya can get anywhere in your 24 hours. Whether you're here, whether you're on the airplane, wherever you may be, you see, you have to always see that you've completely fortified your 24 hours, that Maya cannot get in. If she gets in one place, she'll take over, you see. You give Maya Devi an inch, she'll take a mile. If she takes a mile, she'll take 100 miles. Takes 100 miles, she'll take 1,000 miles. So don't let Maya Devi get in there. You have to be well fortified in every aspect, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed at night. With your every thought, word, and deed, you have to be very vigilant to see that Maya, the influence of Maya Devi, cannot enter into your psyche. So these problems of sex desire and waking up, not getting up early, they can be conquered easily. It's not difficult. You just have to realize that you're cheating yourself by oversleeping and by remaining lusty. You're just cheating yourself. That's all you're doing, is cheating yourself. It's like if I gave you a gun, would you shoot yourself in the foot? So why remain lusty and lazy? You see? Laziness and lustiness, two big problems. So you just have to train yourself how to get up early. Go to bed early, get up early, make that. I've been going to Mangalarti for 45 years. My wife also has been going ever since she joined. Between the two of us, we've been going to Mangalarti for over 90 years every day, you see. So you need, if you're at home, you have a Mangalarti at home. You need to rise early and sing the Gavastakam prayers, the Prabhupada and your Guru Maharaj, if you're initiated. So everyone needs to rise early. The Brahma Muhurta hours are this time when you can really connect with Krishna in the most easy and most powerful way. It begins an hour and a half before sunrise. So do yourself a favor. Go to bed as early as you can. Get up early. You can always take a nap later on if you need to make up for the sleep. But do yourself a favor. Attend the Mangalarti at home or at the temple. And by doing that, you'll taste a nectar so sublime that you can easily conquer over things like lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy.
As we look around in the audience tonight, there's many different devotees here. So what advice and practical tips would you recommend to help devotees overcome the obstacles that you just mentioned?
Rising early, I just mentioned. You have to rise early and chant Hare Krishna. That way, the name of Krishna is much more accessible before sunrise. And when you get that taste, that connection, that will give you a higher taste. It's like Krishna says in the Gita, Vishaya Vinivartante, Nirahayarashidehina, Rashavarsang Rashopyashva Parang Vishvanivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So that's the key. You just got to get that higher taste, you see. You have to get the higher taste. If you rise early and chant Hare Krishna, you'll get a higher taste. And once the higher taste is there, then the other things, they lose their appeal. Sex life, who needs it? Fame, who needs it? Money, only what I need to maintain myself. I don't need to become some rich person just for the sake of enjoying my senses. So everything becomes very beautiful and wonderful when you learn how to associate with Krishna in the early morning hours in the form of his name.
And if any of our lovely audience members wish to read up or research more about sadhana, where can they do that? And also, if any of the audience members have any personal questions, how can they have those addressed?
You can raise your hand, ask. Personal questions, or else you can write me.
He means that when you are not here.
When I'm not in Melbourne, they can send me an email. sda@backtohome.com. SDA in my initials, Sankarshan Das Adhikari. And the knowledge that I give you will take you back to home. sda@backtohome.com. You can always write me. And you can always sign up for my e-course also at backtohome.com and get something every day in your email box. Just like today, we did a real interesting video with a youth named William who was hitchhiking around the world. Real interesting. He and I combinedly made a video about higher consciousness today out here in the courtyard. If you sign up tonight, you'll get it tomorrow at 4 o'clock, 4 in the afternoon, you'll get it. You'll see the video with William. So there's all kinds of interesting stuff in my e-course. You can hear from me, learn from me, inquire from me as much as you like. I'm open to everybody. I want help for spiritual life. So we got another 25 minutes. Did you run out of questions?
We can ask the audience.
Now the audience can ask questions, yeah.
In the beginning of the question and answer session, you talked about faith. We have to have faith in the Lord's word. What is the reason we have so much faith in the temporary day-to-day life? Like driving on this road, going up and down the elevator. Why can't we have a faith in the words of Krishna?
Bad association. We've been taught to put great faith in our modern civilization. From the very beginning, we've been programmed to have faith in our local governments, whether it's the U.S. or Australia and whatever. We've been taught, we were taught to salute the flag, you know, when I was a kid. Ah, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. That's how we were taught as kids. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. That's how we were trained up, you see. So, you know, we're trained to put our faith in the material civilization. Of course, you had different anthems here, but that's in the U.S., how we were all trained as kids, you know. Salute the flag in America, America, America. God shed his grace on thee. Like that, you know. So we've been programmed to have faith in the material things from the very beginning as little children, you see. So you have to understand that what you put your faith in is not really a shelter. It's called dur ashraya, false shelter. You see, that same educational system, our style of education, and we apply it as well. You see. We chant Hare Krishna instead of the national anthem. So the more you'll chant Hare Krishna, the more you'll immerse yourself in, you know, taking darshan of the deities, serving Vaishnavas, honoring prasadam. These activities, the more you engage, the more your faith becomes strong automatically. So you just have to, we just have to basically free yourself from all of the conditioning by coming back to your original nature, which is to have unlimited faith in God. Purification is the key. The more you chant, the more you bow down, the more you hear, remember, read, chant, preach, all of these activities that Prabhupada engages us in, the more you engage in them, the more your faith becomes stronger, stronger, stronger. And finally, those other the faith you had in all those superficial things that were not worthy of placing your faith in, that just goes away in due course of time. Okay. Next.
Question. So my question is, I get frustrated for no reason, like. I didn't want to come here, but I'm sitting here pushing myself on and run away. Like, you know, for no reason, you just don't want to come to temple or something, and you're still pushing yourself, and nothing happened. It's just something in your mind, you don't want to do it. What is it, and how to avoid this thing?
That's your mind, your rascal mind is what it is. So there's two things. The subtle body is composed of mind, intelligence, and false ego. With your intelligence, you can understand you should come to the temple, but your mind doesn't want to come. So, therefore, you have to train your mind, like Govindadas. He's written a very nice bhajan in this connection. Bhajahure mana shrinandanandana abhaya charanada vindare. My dear mind, he said, please engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. So you have to understand there's a difference between your intelligence and your mind. Your mind says don't go to the temple. Your intelligence says to go to the temple. If you let your mind overrule your intelligence, then you're a fool. If you let your intelligence override your mind, you're a wise man. So you just have to be a wise man and not a fool, that's all. Stop being a fool, be a wise man. Do what's actually beneficial for your eternal identity, not some temporary gratification for those bodily senses which you're going to fall by the wayside at any minute. Okay? Next.
In Jyoti meditation, we feel, we do the meditation to feel the love within ourselves and to feel and spread the love all around us, all over the world. That's what we try to achieve.
By what?
In the Krishna consciousness.
Jyoti meditation.
The light.
In meditation.
The light. But what is the source of the light? That's higher, you see. There's no source for the light?
In the meditation...
Just like here the light in this room is coming from the bulbs, isn't it? So light means it has a source.
Yeah.
So when you find out the source, then it's even more powerful than the light, you see?
Yeah.
So we connect you with the source of the light.
In Krishna consciousness, I also try to be devotee of Krishna. And in Krishna consciousness, we feel that love by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. How does that work? Like, is it just keep continuously chanting, or all the time we chant, we need to think of Krishna? Or is it...
Chanting means thinking of Krishna. Because Krishna is, the name Krishna is Krishna himself. So when you chant Krishna, your mind is absorbed in Krishna. The person Krishna and his name are one and the same.
But during the process of transformation, the monkey mind can really keep us oscillating, moving in between. Although
that's why we have 10 offenses to be avoided while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. If you will study those 10 offenses and avoid them, you'll become perfectly fixed in Nama Samadhi. Okay?
Yeah.
You study the 10 offenses and then you'll be perfectly fixed in Nama Samadhi. Okay? Someone show them in the Nectar Devotion where the 10 offenses are. You send me an email and I'll send you a list of the offenses, sda@backtohome.com. The 10 offenses to be avoided will fix you in Nama Samadhi. Okay? Okay, next.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. As you mentioned earlier about don't leave a gap in your mind, like when you first come, wake up early, chant Hare Krishna. For me personally, when I come to temple and when I sit in the temple, I engage with Krishna consciousness and I chant Hare Krishna. But after some time, when prasadam smell comes, my senses just drive in the different directions. So how can I...
Prasadam is also Krishna. Prasadam is also Krishna. So you can relish the kirtan and then prasadam also. The tongue must be engaged in chanting Hare Krishna and in tasting prasad. So that's also Krishna. Prasadam is also Krishna. But don't overeat. then it's no longer Krishna, Prabhupada.
Yes, yesterday I ate a lot, to be honest.
You take what you need to energize your service to Krishna, and that eating is very pure and will liberate you from material existence. Don't eat like a pig. Eat require what you need. But Prabhupada was not fanatical about it. He said, one time the devotees were in great anxiety. When Prabhupada talked about eating less like a yogi, the devotees got in great anxiety, and they said, "Oh, Prabhupada, you know, how much prasadam can we take?" And Prabhupada said, "I'm your spiritual master. If you want more prasadam, it's my duty to provide it for you." So Prabhupada's very kind. You take as much as you like. You see, the guru's position is you take as much as you like. You enjoy prasadam. But from your side, you should think, let me take what I need. We will give you, say, as much as you like, we will give you. You see. But from your side, you should think, but I should take what I need. But we're not going to say, oh, you've had too much. That's you decide. We're gonna give you as much as you like. But you decide what is your limit, you see.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the daily video. I've been every day I'm looking at it. My question is mortgage to buy a home. What is your view on that?
Mortgage. That's better is to just pay it by cash. But if you can't do that, try to pay it off the mortgage as quickly as you can. Because debt is better to be avoided. It's better not to be in debt if you avoid it as much as you can.
I have one question, Maharaj. You said that, you know, we should close all the doors from wherein Maya can come in. and, you know, capture our mind. Can you share some tips, because we day-to-day activities, in our day-to-day activities, we deal with people who are non-devotees. We stay.
Yes.
Can you share some tips?
Yes, I know. My god brother, he was working in a regular corporate job in Detroit. And what he did was he would take a Bhagavad Gita, I think it was a hardbound one, but he just put it on his desk and sitting there all day long, Bhagavad Gita. So in that way, he would be reminded of Krishna while he was doing his work. Why am I doing this? It's actually ultimately to serve Krishna. And then one co-worker saw it. He said, "What is that book?" He said, "Can I read that?" He said, "Sure." And then the other boy became a devotee, you see. So, I just like many. So anything, little thing you can do, like even put a Bhagavad Gita on your desk, and you don't have to even sit, you don't have to preach to anybody, just put it on your desk. Somebody may come up and ask you about it someday during a break, you know. And some little thing like that, a picture of Krishna, or a picture of your spiritual master, a Bhagavad Gita, anything that reminds you of Krishna. I know I was working a corporate job many years ago, selling a long-distance service for a long-distance company in the U.S., doing telesales, and to get hired, you know, I'd wash my T-lock up, you know, and put a coat and a tie and a shirt and over my neck beads and get hired like that, you know. But then I was thinking, this is really not me. One day I said, this is enough. I wore my T-lock to work, you see. And that day I was so fired up, I was selling like anything. And my boss, he gets a commission on my sales, you see. So at the end of the day, he came up to me and said, "Mr. Bridge, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but from now on, you must wear it every day." So, you know, do as much as you can to be Krishna conscious at work. And my boss ordered me to wear tilak every day, you see. Because he could see I would perform much better when I was wearing tilak. So, you know, just do whatever you can to be Krishna conscious on the job. You can, you know, you can hear during your break, you can hear some kirtan or a lecture. You can bring cookies once a week to the break room. It's the big thing. You bring those carob walnut cookies once a week to the break room. Everybody goes by, "Oh, he brought the cookies again." You see, and you can do everything you can to be Krishna conscious within that context. And Krishna will help you. Okay? Next.
You mentioned about sadhana, and spontaneous bhakti.
Sadhi, sadhana bhakti, and?
Spontaneous.
Is there any example of someone who has performed sadhana bhakti and he has achieved Krishna in the material world?
Is there any? Oh, Narada Muni is a good example. Someone who did sadhana and achieved Krishna. Narada Muni is a very good example. Yeah. In the Bhagavatam. Yeah, very good example. He was a conditioned soul. In fact, he was a pop singer in the heavenly planets in his previous life. And he had groupies. Described in the Bhagavatam. They were having a Sankirtan festival, but he was not into glorifying God. He was like singing pop songs, you know. And he had all these female fans, and then he came to the Sankirtan festival, and the demigods cursed him. They were so disgusted, you know, some pop singers, like, you know, someone comes with a rock and roll band to sing some lusty song during the kirtan, you know. So he got cursed by the demigods, and he became the son of a sudra woman on the earthly planet, you see. But during the Chaturmasya, the rainy season, the 4 months of the rainy season, the sages, instead of traveling around, they would stay in one place. So they settled in the forest right near his hut. So every day, the little boy, he would go and he would give the remnants of their prasad. In that way, he became a pure devotee of Krishna, you see. Although he was a decadent pop singer, lusty, decadent pop singer, he became a pure devotee, he became the great Narada Muni. So if Narada Muni can do it, we can do it too, you see. Take prasadam, associate with the sages, chant Hare Krishna, and, you know, become by sadhana, you can become a liberated soul. Next.
My question is, What is the future of ISKCON, and what, being just a small individual, what we can do to help the movement flourishing?
What is he saying?
What is the future of ISKCON, and how can we, as a small individual, help that flourish?
Well, if we will stick,
what's the biggest challenge for the movement?
If we will stick to Prabhupada's teachings, we're going to take over the world. If we deviate, this movement will be dead. So it's up to us to read Prabhupada's books and follow what's in the books. If we do that, this movement will fulfill Lord Chaitanya's prediction given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita: Saj janna dur janna pangu jadda anagana prema vanyayala dubaila jagatera janna. This Krishna consciousness movement is a prema tsunami. It will inundate the entire world, drowning everyone, the lame, the pious, the impious, the lame, invalid, and blind. Everyone will become inundated in this tidal wave of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So that's the future. If we stick to Prabhupada's, if we read the books and we stick to the books, that's what's going to happen. This movement will take over the whole world in due course. The whole world will become Vaishnava and within the next 10,000 years, you see. So we're planting the seeds for a global spiritual revolution. If we stick tightly to Prabhupada's teachings, we will take over the world in due course of time, culturally, not politically, but culturally. You see, that's the future for our movement if we follow Prabhupada. If we become slack in following the rules and regulations, we change everything, then our movement will just be like another nonsense church on the street, you know, a place for people who are materially motivated to justify their sense gratification.
Another one. You mentioned about not being lazy. You know, reading Prabhupada books and attending lectures, we understand that we don't have to become lazy and we should come for Mangala Arati. But over and over, even after listening to this, you know, we become lazy and, you know, don't perform completely the way our sadhana should be. So how we can remind ourselves?
What is this one?
How can we remind ourselves not to be lazy in our sadhana?
Put a note on the wall. Don't be lazy in your sadhana. Big note. Put it on your computer screen, you know, your screensaver. Don't be lazy in your sadhana. Actually, if you're lazy, you're crazy. Because laziness is the mode of ignorance, and it means misery, you see. The more you become enthusiastic, and the more you become ecstatic. So you have to decide intelligently, you want to be miserable, you want to be ecstatic. Laziness is the mode of ignorance, and it's miserable. So why be miserable when you can be blissful? See what I'm saying? So don't be lazy, it's completely crazy. Be ecstatic. Be enthusiastic and relish the bliss at every minute. Your choice. Next.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I've been asked this question a while ago by a friend of mine and I couldn't come up with an answer. I thought I'll ask you. If Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the topmost mantra, then why do second initiated devotees chant Gayatri Mantra?
It's a supplement. To enhance their practice of Krishna consciousness is supplementary. It's not the primary. Gayatri is supplementary mantra. It's not the primary. It's a secondary mantra. It's simply to enhance and empower one to become more sober and more fixed in Krishna consciousness. By chanting Gayatri properly, you will improve your chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. It's a supplementary mantra to help you chant Hare Krishna better. Yeah. Any more questions? Yes.
Speak now. How to avoid offenses against others, especially devotees, even in the spur of moment?
Offenses?
Offenses. Offenses against.
Yes. And the way to avoid offenses, some people say, well, I'll just go to the forest. That way I won't offend any devotees. Just avoid their association altogether. But that doesn't work, because then you'll be committing offenses within your mind. The way to avoid offenses is to follow the guidelines of Narottam Das Thakur. He says, Anande Bolohadi Bhaja Vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majai Aman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna and always worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So you must worship the devotees. Then you won't be offending them. You have to appreciate every single devotee. Because let's face it, we all have a combination of good and bad qualities, isn't it? But a devotee is one who likes, he's more interested to see the good qualities than another one. He wants to always appreciate the good qualities of every Vaishnava, you see. The spiritual master, he has to see the faults also, but his main focus is, what is the good in this person? What is that spark of goodness in this person's heart that I can fan that spark into a blazing fire that will burn away all of his bad qualities, you see. So everyone, even the spiritual master whose duty is to find faults, everybody should see the good qualities of the other devotees and appreciate those good qualities and encourage those good qualities. That's how you avoid committing offenses, by appreciating every single devotee, you see. Even if there's a difference of opinion on some issue, that's all right. But still, what are the good qualities of that person? This must always be appreciated. Then there'll be no offense, because the more you become devotee of the devotees, the more you're accepted by Krishna. Krishna confirms in the Adi Purana, Ye me bhakta jana paratas, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhakchanam che ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, Name Bhaktas, he's not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee. He is my devotee. So how much are you devoted to the devotees within your heart? You have to see that you have a feeling of devotion for every single devotee, and then offenses won't even be an issue. Okay? So our time is up. 9 o'clock.
Unfortunately, time is up. However, if you do have any further questions, please write an email to Gurudev, sda@backtohome.com. And he actually personally answers every email. He's got over 21,000 subscribers. And on top of that, non-subscribers will also email and ask him questions. And he actually answers them himself. So if you have any questions that are in your heart, or you have any doubts that you require clarification, please send Gurudev an email, and he'll be more than happy to answer it.
Many on the ECOS, those who have joined the ECOS, when they read, their answers are automatically answered because of the questions from others.
Yeah, and plus by reading my book, which is right here, Truth Works, you'll get many questions answered. It's a book of questions, basic questions and answers on the science of bhakti. So the book is available right here, and what is it? Only 20 US dollars, Australian dollars. That's a better deal than the US. So anybody who takes the book, I'll sign it and write some words for you, special words just for you in the book. Anybody who wants a copy of the book. So we thank you all so much. May Krishna bless all of you, that you can have the awakening of pure love of God within your hearts as soon as possible. Hare Krishna.
We thank Maharaj and Guru Mother for the presence and guiding us for our sadhana to become perfect in the Krishna consciousness. Can we all chant three times Hari Bol?
Hari Bol!